Let us pray. In your wisdom, O God, you call us here to worship you. You call us to be fully alive with your life abundant, ready to listen and respond with heart, soul, strength, and mind. You call us to be your disciples, to love one another just as you have loved each of us. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are watchful for your word among us, sometimes startling and unexpected, sometimes still and quiet, but always present. Amen. Trusting in the love of God to make all things new, let us confess our sin to God and our neighbor. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is true that we have sinned, yet it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, know that your sin is forgiven, and by grace you are redeemed. Thanks be to God. Let us join our voices in singing the hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, number 334 in your crimson hymnal, hymn number 334.
Thank you. You may take your seats. Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you with Jesus' joy on this beautiful spring morning. My name is Jonathan L. Walton, and I'm the Plummer Professor of Christian Morals, PUC minister here in the Memorial Church, and we welcome, so glad to see you all in this space of grace at the center of Harvard Yard. We are here. We gather here as a community of faith, a community of love, a community of belonging and inclusion, across lines of difference, sharing in common what Jesus told his disciples. People will distinguish you as my followers by the ways that you love one another. This week, we have some incredible offerings here at the Memorial Church. Beginning this Tuesday evening at 7:30, we invite you to all come out to hear our own Associate University Organist, Thomas Sheehan. He will be performing an organ recital this Tuesday at 7:30. You want to come out to hear Brother Tom. This is his last recital here before he heads on to become the head organist at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. So, he has been an incredible gift to us, an incredible gift to the staff, an incredible gift to the worshiping community, and we really thank God for him. And while we're in this moment of expressing our appreciation and our thanksgiving, listen, this is the last Sunday that our choral fellows will be with us, our choral fellows who have held it down all year long, not only at Sunday morning worship, but also at morning prayers. They are an anchor of the university choir, and they have enriched our worship life with their victorious voices and their incredible spirits. So please, please, if you don't mind, join me in just expressing your love and appreciation for our choral fellows. Our preacher for the morning, obviously no stranger to us, it comes in the form of our associate minister here at the Memorial Church, Alana Sullivan. We are so glad whenever Alana comes and climbs up the Mem Church pulpit to share Thus Saith the Lord in her generous, creative, and humorous way like only she can. So we're so glad to have her preaching the word of the Lord on this morning. Now let me just say something about this summer. The sanctuary will be closed this summer due to renovations. We are upgrading our sound system. It is an extension of the renovations that took place a couple of summers ago that took us offline, but there were some things that we could not complete at that time in order to get us back going in the fall. So we held off, and so we are resuming that work this summer here at the Memorial Church. And so we will not have summer services. We will not have summer services. The student oasis downstairs will remain open during the week, but we will not have summer services. But we will open back up in the fall with a new sound system for the pulpit and particularly for the choir. And so for those of you in the sanctuary that know the dead spots that you used to sit in and you've moved because of that, you can probably move back to those spots come the fall. And for those of you who are listening to us on the radio, you will be able to hear the incredible voices of the university choir led by Edward Jones with greater clarity and thus conviction due to the upgrades that we are going to have over the summer. And so that means next Sunday, the 26th, will be our final service for the year. Next Sunday, Yours truly will be preaching, and I will be preaching my final sermon as the Plummer Professor of Christian Morals here at the Memorial Church. It will just be my final sermon as Plummer Professor of Christian Morals, because, hint, hint, I expect that you will invite me back at some point or another from North Carolina. How can we say we love the Lord, who we've never, ever seen before, and then forget to say we love the one who we walk beside each and every day? I can't look upon your face, Mr. and Mrs. Hayes, and ignore God's love. It's you that I must embrace. Y'all are my brothers. Y'all are my beautiful sisters. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Wherever you are, please stand to your feet and let's pass the peace of Christ. Now time where we honor God with the giving of our gifts. You'll find envelopes in the pews. We ask that you would take one of those envelopes and fill it out so we can keep you abreast of the life and times of the Memorial Church. If it's your first time visiting with us, don't worry about putting anything in the envelope. Just fill it out, close it, put it in the collection plate when it comes by. The fact that you are here with us, we consider that a beautiful, generous offering. But if it's not your first time with us, why don't you help us be a blessing to not only the Harvard University community, but also to over 50 social service organizations that we support throughout the greater Boston area. Yes, we are a space of grace here at the center of Harvard Yard with all of the incredible programming and ministries that we do. It's all made possible by your gifts. But we also want to make sure that our light shines to those who are unfortunately, for multiple reasons, trapped in the shadows of life. Because when we look at them, all of us should say, yet for the grace of God, there go I. So our ushers are going to make their way down the aisles. We would ask that you would just please give as the Lord has blessed and prospered you to give. We are thankful.
Praise in all ye angels of his, praise in all. Please be seated. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. He will be his peoples. And the God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and the pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Here ends the lesson.
Oh, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, beginning at the 31st verse. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the lesson.
Ever faithful God, you have knit together as one body in Christ those who have been your people in all times and places. Hear now, Holy One, the desires and petitions of those who gather in this place. Jesus commanded the disciples to love one another, but loving is so very hard. Sometimes I am wounded by the words of others. Sometimes I am abused by others. And it is so very hard to love when I am hurting. Jesus commands us to love as we have been loved, sacrificially, unconditionally, radically. Help me, help us all together. Help each of us to proclaim, to embody, to incarnate your love for the world, your love for our neighbors, your love for ourselves. Prince of Peace, turn our hearts from anger and strife and discord and hatred, and let us pray at this time for those countries suffering at the hands of war and violence. To Venezuela, where people are dying of starvation and lack of access to medical treatment. To Burkina Faso, where gunmen killed 6 people during a mass at a Catholic church. To Sudan, where another 6 were killed in political protests, and Sri Lanka, where revenge attacks on Muslims are taking place in the aftermath of Easter bombings. Let your love reign amongst and between us and be a shining example for us to emulate. Seeker of the lost, open our eyes to see those around us and around the world who are all too often overlooked. Healer of the world, prod us to reach out to the unclean, vulnerable, and abandoned. Resurrected Lord, remind us again of your transformative presence with each and all of us. God of wisdom, we pray for all students as this semester ends, especially the students of this university. Let the knowledge they receive be put to the betterment of humanity, creating a just world for all. Walk with those students for whom the end of term means uncertainty and loss. May they know the closeness of your presence. Look upon all who lead our institutions of learning, that they would ensure the pursuit of knowledge and truth uninhibited by power and politics. God of glory, in your Son Jesus, you love us to the end. You promise that you are always and you dwell among us. You make your home with us here in this space and time. Be present, O God, as we wish our beloved professor, preacher, and teacher well in the new work to which you have called him. We give thanks for all that Professor Walton and his family have done for this community, making your love ever visible in the center of Harvard Yard. May the world know us, may the world know you, because of the love you have for us, because of the love we have for you, for one another, and for ourselves. Amen. Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
To see thee, Lord. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O holy God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Friends, there is a sense of anticipatory celebration that fills the yard at this time of year. Poles and caution tape are scattered across the green, and it means that commencement is around the corner. Now, commencement is supposed to be a time of festivity and revelry, yet there also can be a twinge of grief and pain that can accompany it. I'm often left thinking, why is that? And well, for one thing, goodbyes are tough, and there's no way around it. It is not surprising that so many of us can be uncomfortable at moments like these. So often we stumble through them, or we dodge them altogether. Is there such thing as a good goodbye? Or a goodbye well done? Some of us may try the avoidance tactic. We pretend it's not happening. Perhaps we say to ourselves, I don't even know what to say. Where do I begin? What words can provide comfort or capture all that I'm feeling? And the parting thereby goes unacknowledged, either with our words or in our hearts. And some of us try to escape the finality of goodbyes by making false promises. I'm sure we'll stay in touch. We'll have a chance to talk again before you leave. We'll see each other again soon. Social media makes it even easier to pretend that we will remain in close contact and know the true intimacies of one another's lives. And yet, in our heart of hearts, we know that this might not be true, but we say these things anyway. And sometimes we can be so uncomfortable with saying goodbye that we redirect our emotions and divert our attention by getting angry, by acting out, by picking a fight, or withdrawing entirely. It's easier to create a distracting excuse than to address our underlying grief. And there is a particular kind of grief when we are the ones being left. It stirs up our insecurities about our sense of self and worth. Am I enough? Friends, goodbyes are tough, and there's no way around it. And it is easy to identify some of the reasons why we have difficulties with goodbyes. We may doubt that we have the right words. And yet, even if we do find the right words, that can be difficult too. Because once our parting is acknowledged and expressed, Our separation can no longer be ignored. To offer words of parting is to make the painful reality all the more real. And who wants to do that? And of course, to say goodbye is to close a chapter. To be sure, there will be other chapters, even wonderful chapters ahead. But it's not this chapter. And in moments of our parting, we encounter not just the limitations of our relationships, but the limitations of ourselves. We cannot be both here and there. We cannot stop time. We cannot be with all the people that we care about. And we cannot begin to write the new chapter without turning the page. In our parting, we confront the limitations of our humanity. How fragmentary and incomplete our relationships are. How fragmentary and incomplete we are. And we will always be that way. We like to say, someday. Someday we'll get beers together to catch up. Someday we will finally go for that walk, and I'll tell you everything that has been going on with me. Someday I will tell you all that you have meant to me. But often that someday never comes. Goodbyes always seem premature. Even the fullest of lives and the richest of relationships are fragmentary and incomplete. In contrast, many of the partings in Scripture are tender and lingered over. They also are marked by an unwavering honesty and without a trace of denial. Jesus, for one, did not avoid the pain of parting by merely slipping away. In fact, the final third of John's gospel consists largely of Jesus and his parting words to his disciples. And that's where we find ourselves today. Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper. Judas has gone, and Jesus knows what this means. The others do not. So this is his last opportunity to say what he really, really means. He affectionately calls them little children. I'm only with you for a little longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. It doesn't get much more simple than that. With his imminent departure, Jesus forgoes his usual parables and forgets the paradoxes. Instead, he goes straight to the heart of the matter. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Jesus wants to make it easy for us, yet we find so many ways to complicate it. New Testament scholar D.A. Carson offered, "The new command is simple enough for a toddler to memorize and appreciate, but profound enough that the most mature believers are repeatedly embarrassed at how poorly they comprehend and put it into practice." And another way to translate the Greek of this commandment is, "I have loved you in order that you love one another." We show Christ's love for us in how we love and care for each other. Or to borrow words that we know well from Benjamin Elijah Mays, "The love of God and the love of humanity are one." And I believe that one of the ways we can demonstrate our love for one another is to say goodbye well. How we start is just as important as how we finish. Christ calls us to love one another, and that includes in our parting. It is a loving act to say goodbye, even if imperfectly. Palliative care and hospice specialist Ira Byock shares that there are 4 sentences, 11 words, that dying people long to hear and long to say to those that they love. "Please forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you." We do not need new magic words. In fact, we can trust many of the words that we have heard our entire lives. "Please forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you." These are important and powerful things to say. They still hold value. There is a reason why people turn again and again to these few small words. So, friends, as we part, it is not time for ambiguous language. It comes down to the fundamentals. As a matriarch of my home church once said, "When you are near the end, there is no time to waste on anything but the truth." Over and over again in Scripture, we read of people who, in their parting, remind one another of the promises of God. And what other ways are we to part lovingly? How else can we leave those we care about unless we entrust them to the care of God? That is, after all, what goodbye means. God be with you. That single word is a prayer, is a gesture of grace, and sharing it is an act of love. God be with you because I can no longer be with you. God be with you because you are about to turn the page and write the next chapter. God be with you because if God is with you and with me, we will still somehow be together. God be with you, because though now we have limited ways of caring for one another, we are still, all of us, in need of care. God be with you, because you have been a blessing to us. Indeed, there is no other way for us to part from those we love, either by kidding ourselves or being drawn into the shadow of desperation, unless we say goodbye. God be with you.
Please stand as you are able to sing "God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him," hymn number 14 in your crimson hymnal, hymn number 14.
Friends, as we go into this day, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you peace, and may God be with you. Amen.